on CBS Sports Radio.
Kelsey Reber with your community calendar on The Zone. The A&M Consolidated High School Choir Department presents The Wizard of Oz. Performances are Thursday through Saturday. Go online to amchschoir.org to purchase tickets. Dr. Elizabeth N. Saunders from Georgetown University will present a lecture on her foreign affairs article, The Unconstrained Presidency. The event is Wednesday, January 30th at 5:30 p.m. at the Bush Library. StoryCorps at Texas A&M, an oral history project that captures and preserves the spirit of the university for future generations, is at the Stark Galleries in the MSC through the end of January. Gallery hours are Tuesday through Friday from 9 until 8 and weekends from noon until 6. Don't miss Checkpoint XP, Saturday from 10 until midnight, or on demand in the Pod Center at zone1150.com. Checkpoint XP, gaming radio by gamers for gamers, discussing video games and esports. I'm Chelsea Reber for Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Napa Know How.
Right now, you can get a $20 prepaid Visa gift card by mail with the purchase of a Napa Legend Premium battery. Its durability and power make it the obvious choice for people who hate getting stranded by a dead car battery. So pretty much everyone. The Napa Legend Premium Battery and $20 back. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care Centers. Limit 2 per household while supplies last. Offer ends 2/28/19.
When it comes to metal buildings, pipe, steel, and metal roofing, pricing is determined by supply and demand. That said, as the largest supplier in Central Texas, Pioneer Steel buys in bulk so that they can pass the savings on to you. Visit Pioneer Steel on Highway 21 East in Bryan and see for yourself why they've been thriving as a family-owned and operated business since 1943. For all your metal building, pipe, and metal supply needs, your one-stop shop is Pioneer Steel. Pioneer Steel, proud supporter of Texas A&M Athletics. Click pioneerboys.com.
This afternoon, I didn't plan to stay at my friend's house too long. And I didn't plan to sit down, talk, and have a drink with her. I didn't plan to have a few more drinks, and I didn't plan a sober ride back home.
Don't wait until it's too late. Before you drink alcohol, make a plan for a sober ride. Drink, drive, go to jail. A message from TxDOT.
Hi, I'm Nate Bender, host of Checkpoint XP, gaming radio for gamers by gamers. Join me and my friends every Saturday night at 10 here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM as we talk about the latest news and events from around the world of video games and the esports scene. Every Saturday night from 10 till midnight, you can hear Checkpoint XP here on the Zone, or you can catch us on demand at the Pod Center at zone1150.com.
College Station, welcome to the Blue Chi Hour Lunch live on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone 102.7 FM. I'm your host, Ryan Broninger. We are here on the stage at the tap on Harvey Road, hanging out as we do every Monday and Thursday throughout the spring semester, hanging out, eating a great lunch, Tap's lunch menu full of delicious items and being updated, if I'm not giving too much away, John. So they're about to go to a little bit more modern ordering system. I'm sure the front table will hate it. But a lot of changes about to go on with the Tap menu and the way you do it. But still, great lunch menu, $8.49 burger basket, $8.49 today, beef burrito, because with fries and a drink. And don't forget Monday night's karaoke, Wednesday night's piano bar, and check the Tap's website, tapbcs.com, to check out their events tab and the concerts they've got coming through here. Always some great Texas country, up-and-coming Texas country artists gracing this stage. A lot of stuff to get to today. We had some news break this week since our last show on Monday. Texas A&M backup quarterback Nick Starkle will be transferring, as many thought that he would. There's some likely destinations from what we've heard. We'll get Luch's thoughts on that. We'll get Luch's thoughts at what the depth chart looks like at quarterback now. going into next season, with Connor Blumrick being the only quarterback on campus other than Kellen Mond now that has taken a collegiate snap. And even Connor's only I think he's taken five in his career at Texas A&M. So we'll get Lucha's thoughts on that. Got a big junior day next weekend. Obviously, next Thursday, that'll be a big topic of conversation as A&M hosts some of the best players in 2020 and 2021 from across the state and across the region. And the more that we dive into this list that's heading into College Station, the more I believe it'll be one of, if not the biggest recruiting event of the year for Jimbo Fisher and company over at the Bright Complex. For me, this is a big week, too, because tomorrow the Fighting Texas Aggie baseball team will take the field officially for the first time as a in the 2019 campaign to start their practice for the season ahead. It's been really funny to me to see a lot of these preseason polls come out regarding the Aggie baseball team, because in years past, I think I've had more questions maybe than the national writers have. I went and saw this team quite a bit in the fall and really liked what I saw, and I love the roster, the talent on the roster from top to bottom. It's just funny to me that now the national guys don't seem to be as high on the Aggies as the local guys do. I think this team's got a chance to be really special, especially when you consider John Doxakis and Asa Lacy as Friday and Saturday starters. The lineup, they got to find a Sunday starter, which is huge, especially in the SEC when everybody's going to go about three or four deep on the mound. The good news is, if you're an A&M fan, it'll be unproven depth, but it's ultra-talented kids that will likely fill that Sunday role, and then the Tuesday role will be, again, kind of newish names, freshmen and sophomores, but super talented. The lineup, I love the lineup. I love the options that Rob Childress and Justin Seeley and Will Bolt will have to play with and mix and match to try to find their best nine. There's some spots open in the outfield. Obviously, you return Braden Shoemake. Braden Shoemake was left off the perfect game preseason All-American list, which shocked me. And he was named third team by one of the other publications. So even Shoemake, who, you know, by his accounts probably had a down year last year, but still hit, I think, 315 or 312 and led the team in just about every offensive category except for or was second in the team behind Michael Hellman. So by his standard, probably a down year, but by most people, it's an outstanding year, and I think he's got a chance to play his way in the top two or three rounds of the MLB draft after this year. I don't think it's any question that this will be the last season that we see Braden Shoemake play baseball for the Texas Aggies. But, again, just around Shoemake, you return Logan Foster, Hunter Coleman, Will Frizzell, guys that have got quality experience at bats and have put up big numbers in big games. And if these kids continue to grow, to me, this should be the most talented team that A&M has had since 2016, that team with Michael Barish and Nick Banks and J.B. Moss and Hunter Melton and all those guys. If they can find the pitching depth, especially out of the bullpen, if they're able to pull that together and find some pitching depth, I think this A&M team can really make some noise in the SEC. Again, it's very similar, though, to football and basketball, or football, especially in this conference, in that every week that you better be able to get a guy on the mound to compete. There better be somebody that is willing to, or that is capable of shutting down an offense on any given day, because you don't want to run through a season and Sunday be a question every week. Because everybody in this conference is good, and everybody in this conference has got elite depth in starting pitching. So, again, Aggie baseball starting tomorrow, preseason practice. First game, I believe, is February. Front table, y'all got the date on that? February 15th against Fordham, right? Fordham comes to town from the Northeast to start the first series at Olsen Field at Bluebell Park. One of my favorite days of the year, opening day for Aggie baseball. Aggie basketball played hard, played better, whatever you want to put it, or however you want to put it, on the road at Florida. Actually led at halftime against a good Florida Gators team. Florida got hot in the second half. Ended up beating the Aggies by 9, 81-72. On the road, like I said, there in Gainesville, the Aggies were paced by Wendell Mitchell, 25-point game. He really seems like he's coming in into his own as a player. I liked what I saw out of the effort, especially considering, you know, what happened at home against Missouri. I think the last two times on the floor, the last time on the floor, the Aggies played with increased effort. And I know that the practices from talking to some people at Texas Aggies, from talking to Logan Lee, that there was a real emphasis on, we're going to get back. You're not going to play unless there's effort. And I thought the effort was much better on the road at Gainesville. But, again, you know, what are you talking about in terms of success in this season and where this Aggie basketball program is going? I guess it's a little encouraging in the short term to see them play harder, Luch. But, again, we're talking about a season that's not salvageable anymore at this point.
Unless I was running behind. I got caught behind the slowest driver in College Station on a one-laner. But, no, you're not used to that. You're used to, like, 60 seconds. This is, my friends call you the flounder because they say before I get in, they like listening to you flounder up here, which is what you were just doing when I walked in and heard you talking up the effort. And that's never a good thing with a team.
You got to pick and choose.
Yeah. If I walk in and your positivity that you're gleaning is that they actually tried – that's a problem.
And they led at half on the road.
Yeah, they play. Here's the thing. And that, to me, always with an athletic team, and you can't be perfect. I get it. You know what? Like, you can't be on every week. You know, what programs are? Typically Alabama. And I wouldn't even say that they are. They just sometimes, even when they're not, they're so good, they're still going to win.
Here you're talking about elite.
You can't be on. Yeah, you can't be on every week. Baseball, you could be a top five team and lose two or three at home, you know, to a bottom half of the SEC team. You see that type of stuff happen. You just can't. I know we all think you can. Well, it's only, you know, 12 Saturdays a year. Why can't you go out? Well, maybe each individual thinks they can, but it's 85 guys, and or it's
18 to 22-year-olds.
It's 11 guys out there, or it's 9 guys on a baseball field. It's not feasible. So not every single game, every single season. But to me, like, the bare minimum requirement of an athletic team, especially at Texas A&M, where fans appreciate things like defense and effort and want to and desire, is to look like you want to be out there and playing hard. And so to me, what they showed at Florida is that they haven't quit. That's good. And that's good for the players, good for the coaches. I wish T.J. Starks would quit tweeting. I don't like calling out fans when, you know – The product on the court right now, after what they put out there in the past week, and there are going to be a lot of people that go back Saturday to watch them play Kansas State as a heavy underdog that sat through that crap they put on the floor last week against Auburn and Missouri. And a lot of you will go back. And so my advice to TJ would be stop tweeting and keep playing hard, because I think he does. And you know, I get the frustration, but keep playing hard and appreciate the ones that are still there for you, because there's a lot of them that are going to every one of these games and really pulling for A&M to pull through this. And but right now, the first step, like you said, has to be the effort. But to me, again, that's bare minimum. And it is bad that we're to a point with this team right now that we are looking at a turning a 13-point lead into a halftime lead into a 9-point loss
as a positive,
a 22-point swing, and I agree, we consider that progress.
Yep.
That, and by the way, Florida came in that game 10-7. This is not one
typical,
of those Elite Eight Florida teams. So they got real problems right now over there. But like you were saying when I walked in, I mean, all you could say right now is, have they quit? And I think the answer, thankfully, from what we saw a couple nights ago, is no, they have not, and they're still fighting to get through it. And so from that standpoint, what T.J. Starks tweeted, I'm glad to hear it, because there's some fight left in him, and there's fight left in that team, as they showed this week. So good for them on that front, but – man, the schedule don't get any easier. You go, what? What are their next three? K-State, Tennessee, and I think it's K-State, Tennessee, and LSU. So
K-State, K-State, LSU, Tennessee, Ole Miss. Yeah. So it's three of those are in the top 25.
Yep.
Kansas State being the one. It's like real quick.
Kansas State's not. They've won five in a row and just held Texas Tech to about 43 points.
I always like to get your thoughts. Your preseason Aggie baseball starts tomorrow, kicks off practice. Any thoughts on this team? Are you excited about? I know you don't follow it. You don't really get in depth with it. Like I said, to start the show.
I get it more in depth than the baseball bunch likes to think.
But probably your last season to watch Brayden. I don't think it's probably your last season to watch Brayden Shoemake, a chance to play his way in the top couple of rounds. But left off of the perfect game All-American team. John Dyksakis was the only member, second team left-handed pitcher. Anything got you excited about this baseball team?
The two guys you mentioned for starters and the pitcher everyone's talking
Ace
about.
Lacy.
If Docs and Ace Lacy can – you know,
I love the lineup.
That's
too.
A hell of a starting off point. You've told me about the lineup.
Logan Foster, Hunter Coleman. There's a lot of guys back with, you know, Will Frizzell. A lot of talented bats back with a lot of experience. That junior class has played a lot of baseball now, been to a College World Series. So I think that for the one time that I've been here, you know, the national writers have been high on A&M since I've been really covering
them. Sometimes too high.
Yeah. And I think this time I'm higher on preseason. I'm higher on this team than the national guys are. So it'll be really interesting. I think the pitching depth has got to step up. They've got to find some guys to start those Sunday and Tuesday games or midweek games. And then they got to find
non-conference.
It's bad until you go to the Minute Maid. That Minute Maid Classic will be a lot of fun. And I'm trying to get down there for a couple of days.
I wish we'd see. And I know it's SEC. I wish we'd see A&M play a little bit more challenging. It's not Rob's MO.
Nope.
He'd probably disagree with me on that, but, you know, and I'm sure he's got his reasons, but I would like to see them mix in that one, and they've done it a couple times in there, but when they play typically you would think you go out and get a West Coast. I don't understand. I know this is political, so this goes beyond what Childress can do, and it has to do with both sides. I don't understand why these teams like A&M, and you don't play a weekend three-game series against
Texas.
TCU or Texas or you know, Rice when they were up, or U of H, like not just the Tuesday. And I get it, so it takes away a Tuesday night game, and it's real good to be able to. But I don't know why they don't play. Maybe just do two a year against Texas. But, you know, how good would a three-game series against, you know, a TCU. And granted, they might not want to do it. I understand that it goes both ways.
And I think the preseason tournaments really fill that gap because you go get a variety. When you play at Houston at Minute Maid, you'll get TCU and U of H and Baylor.
I get it. Everybody does that, though.
And, you know,
everybody. All I'm lobbying for is one premier series. Yep. And maybe
West Coast. Or I'd like to see a good Big Ten program. What about a Notre Dame come in here, like a big name come in here early in the season?
Which I wouldn't agree. Hurt because no. They're usually not going to be as good.
Right, and they're not ready.
That time of year. Anyway, that's a veer off the path nitpick. I think this is a really big year for Childress and the program in terms of
– the talent's there to make a run.
If you've got the talent to make a run – and I trust your judgment on that because you tell me, you know, we talk about it all the time. And if you've got the talent to do it, and this is a perfect opportunity to, in the eyes of the rest of the country, overachieve.
Yep.
And that's always a really good thing when as a head coach.
2 years
when
ago,
you look
he did
like,
it and went to Omaha with a team that had no business going. Honestly, with terms of talent.
But I don't think they overachieved during the season. They did it the right time, and at the end of the day, that's what matters.
And they got a good draw.
I always go back to that and say it doesn't matter. They won that regional. The breaks went their way. The 2 years before that, they kind of got shafted with the whole TCU thing. So, you know, fine, we'll take it. You know what? We should have been in Omaha the 2 years before that. We were one of the best eight teams. You matched us up.
With another best eight.
1 year the best. So I don't – no apologies for that, but I wouldn't have said that team overachieved throughout the season. This is a chance to do that, I think, for Childress and baseball. And I do think there is – you know, there is starting to be some pressure to say go out there and make host. We want to host super regionals here and finish in the top third of the SEC and you know, make real noise in the postseason and go to Omaha more than we have.
On the other side of the break, we'll get into the Nick Starkle transfer and more with the quarterback depth going forward. Listen to Blue Shower Lunch live on The Zone.
You need help if you've been charged with a crime. The justice system is daunting. You need an experienced defense lawyer to obtain the best results for you. Steve Gastitis, attorney at law, has been helping people fight criminal charges for over 20 years. Call Steve Gastitis now to schedule your free consultation. 823-9111. Qualified people are ready to take your call. Let Steve Gastitis put his experience to work for you. 823-9111. Visit GastitisLaw.com today and get the help that you need.
Napa Know How.
Right now, you can get a $20 prepaid Visa gift card by mail with the purchase of a Napa Legend Premium battery. Its durability and power make it the obvious choice for people who hate getting stranded by a dead car battery. So pretty much everyone. The Napa Legend Premium battery and $20 back. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care Centers. Limit two per household while supplies last. Offer ends 2/28/19.
There's a Kubota for every job. There's a Kubota for every harvest. There's a Kubota for every task. And a Normangy tractor for a limited time only. Take the drive to Normangy and let Vernon and the boys show you what they have ready for the new year. Get the new Kubota L2501 DT 24.8 horsepower tractor, loader with quick attach bucket and 5-foot shredder now through March 31st for a cash price of only $15,800 or payments as low as $160 per month based on 20% down, zero APR, for 84 months. And remember, most any trade-in can be your down payment. Normangy Tractor has over 8 acres of Kubota tractors, Kubota RTVs, ATVs, and Kubota mowers to choose from. Remember to shop additional Kubota package deals on the web at normangytractor.com. For the lowest prices and largest selection, shop Normangy Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. The corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normangy. And remember, nobody beats Normangy Tractor. Nobody.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Huge announcements. None bigger than this.
This is a special programming announcement from the head offices of the Zone Management Council and the Governance Association. Well, really, Louie just wanted me to pass this along. Coming soon, the Zone 102.7 FM will be moving to 93.7 FM. With the move to 93.7 FM, the Zone will be 24-7, 100% uninterrupted. Day or night, indoor or outdoor, Bryan College Station, Sports Radio 1150 AM is going nowhere. But coming soon, the Zone will be moving to 93.7 FM.
Welcome back out to the Tap, Bellucci Hour Lunch. Ron Broninger, Billy Lucci with you. Live on Sports Radio 11, The Zone, 102.7 FM. Got a quick segment here, went along on that first one. So, Lucci, want to get your real quick thoughts on Nick Starkle announcing his transfer from Texas A&M. I think it's a kid that will always be endeared to the A&M fans and will always be in good standing with Aggies. He did everything right and had an unfortunate injury last year, and it seems like he accepted his role on this year's team, as good as you could ask for, and would have been a quality backup and was ready to play at all times, and made the best decision for his career. I think that's obvious. So just your thought on Nick's transfer and then where that leaves the quarterback room next year with only Connor Blumert returning on the roster outside of Kellen that has taken a college snap.
Yeah, and I don't even count that. I mean, it's not like Connor Blumrick gained a lot of valuable experience taking snaps in a 60-point game or something. So they have no experience. I feel like it's nice that everyone is saying all this stuff about Nick, and he's one of my favorite guys on the team. But what's happening with Nick Starkle is just it is what it is. it's the reality of today's college football, and he is doing what's best for him, and he should do what's best for him. And he did, I think, do a good thing for A&M this fall by not pouting and hanging in, and he knew he was going to be one play away from being the starter or one bad stretch of games from being the starter, and that never happened. But he could have gotten pissed that he didn't win the job, and I'm sure he wasn't happy about it.
He got close against Ole Miss, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it did, but it didn't happen.
Yep.
He didn't play, so close doesn't count for crap in this game. It kept him on the sideline. But he did that to be a good teammate. He could have left and set out this fall and gone through a season and a spring as a regular transfer and now been all the way versed in an offense or whatever. But he took a chance, A, that he could play, and B, he didn't want to make a rash decision and quickly go somewhere. And he also took it like a man that he didn't win a job over a guy that he had beat out the year before. And he was a great teammate and a wonderful Aggie. And again, I think that's what you talk about when you say everybody's, you know, going to have fond memories of him. He did it the way it should be done, but he's also doing what college quarterbacks do now. You know, it's funny that Tate Martell transfers within the same couple, or announces a transfer within the same couple weeks that Nick Starkel does, and they're doing the exact same. Well, not technically not, because Tate could have competed for a job this year. They're doing the same thing, but Nick Starkel, which dates all the way back to Ask My Dude, is doing it in such a more upstanding and classy and mature manner than Tate Martell. It's just funny. Those two will always kind of be juxtaposed, and they'll always kind of be compared to each other. And
nice word.
Yeah, and it's just funny. Because yet again, here's Starkel coming out looking like the better of the two. And the irony is Ohio State's interested in him. I don't think he'll end up there. Ohio State was also interested in Kyle Allen. He ended up at Houston. I think Nick has to go somewhere. Don't go mess with the Justin Fields thing. Ohio State wants you in case Fields is ineligible this year.
Which they probably want you. Will be eligible,
yeah,
based on that waiver.
And they'll be great to have you there as a backup, too. They're not worried about your long-term future. They don't know you. They don't care. They're not worried about Nick Starkel at 28 years old and at 38 years old. So I know SMU is on there. You know, Oak State, he was committed to. I just think a guy that's transferring like Nick has to be so particular and so careful about where he goes that even if you go down a level – football, whether it's conference or just prestige-wise, then do that. Whatever it takes to go into the best situation. Maybe it's UCLA. Maybe, I don't think he'd go back to Arizona with Noel in that deal, but maybe it's in Arizona. You know, I think to me, like Oak State, West Virginia stood out before they got the guy from OU.
What about U of H? With Dana?
I thought about that. You just wonder with Derek King, he doesn't seem to fit Dana's, but he is a really dynamic player.
Yeah.
And Dana might say, you know what, I'll make this kid throw a little better and we'll carve people up. So maybe not, but I don't know who the quarterback at Washington State is, but I know that Gardner Minshew's leaving. They had him as a one-year transfer. If there's an opportunity there and go slinging around the Pac-12 for freaking Mike Leach for 2 years, to me, he's like kind of a perfect fit out there. But anyway, Nick's got to be real particular. But what he's doing is what every quarterback does now, and welcome to the new world of college football. Let me ask you this. Who's Alabama's backup this year? Who's Texas's backup next fall? It's a guy
Casey
who
Thompson.
Can't pull himself back out of the portal because two other guys left. Look at Alabama with Jalen Hurts leaving. Look at OU when he finds out, oh, Jalen Hurts is coming here, so I'm leaving. What's his name again, the backup there?
Oh, yeah.
Austin.
Yeah, Austin Kendall.
Austin Kendall, yeah.
And then now,
so he leaves.
Yep.
It is the day and age we are in it now. We are all the way in. This portal made it that much easier with quarterback. It's the quarterback shuffle. It's the day and age of free agent quarterbacks. And even though Nick handled it perfectly, handled the way, I think he's just an example of this is where we're going with it. If you're a college football coach, and Jimbo dealt with it a lot at Florida State, when Jameis Winston won the starting job, Jay Coker transferred to Alabama and went on to win a national title. Mm-hmm. This is what happens now in college football, where you have to recruit quarterbacks knowing, like, James Foster and James Foster and Zach Calzada aren't going to both stay at A&M through their whole career. I doubt it. You know, it would be the exception and not the rule nowadays. Yep. Look right now, off the top of my head, Alabama, Georgia, A&M, and Texas are all in the same boat. They all have starters that are proven. Clemson, five schools, top of our heads,
yep,
that have starters, proven guys that they believe in, and then almost nothing behind them in the way of experience. You're not going to have that anymore. So you have to recruit, and I think getting a guy like Calzada in at the midterm and having a second-year guy that's been in your system for a year like Foster and a Blumrick that's been there 2 years or in your system for a year now, it's an absolute must, and those are –
it's almost
– that's going to be the norm.
It almost makes these preferred walk-on quarterbacks need to be pretty good players because they've got the better chance of staying for 4 years. A&M brought in a really good – I don't know, his sister runs track here, Peyton Matoka,
yeah,
St. Thomas, really good player. And if they get him as a preferred walk-on, he would be a four-year kid that you could look at maybe as a junior, and if something happens to your starter, at least it's a kid with ability and talent enough to – you know, bridge the gap, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe, you have to be able to go out and really kind of see the future at that position because.
And that's a good segue. Let's get to that on the other side of the break because we've got a junior day coming up. And I'm going to ask you.
Future.
Yeah. And we'll see about what A&M's going to do at the quarterback position.
Loose segue.
You listen to Blue Chiara.
We'll take it.
Listen to Blue Chiara Lunch live on the Zone.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Local motorists will be experiencing another new highway design. On the heels of one of the state's first diverging diamond interchanges, get ready for the Michigan left turn. Dan Rudge of the BCS Metropolitan Planning Organization says that's how traffic on Holloman will cross Harvey Mitchell Parkway when 2018 is widened.
It means that you will no longer be able to go straight across at Holloman Drive. You will actually make a right turn out of Holloman Drive, drive down 2818, come to something that's called a Michigan left, which is basically a U-turn, and make your U-turn and proceed in the direction you wish to go.
Rudge's comments from the Chamber of Commerce Economic Outlook Conference also included a reminder about today's final public meeting on the extreme makeover of William Joel Bryan Parkway. The come-and-go meeting is from 4 until 7 p.m. at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bryan. Texas A&M representation in the state legislature's higher education committees is lacking for the next 2 years. New House Speaker Dennis Bonin decided not to reappoint John Rainey of Bryan, who is vice chairman of the House Higher Ed Committee. There are no Aggies on the House committee, but there are two members who have degrees from other A&M system schools. John Smithy of Amarillo has a degree from West Texas A&M, and Leo Pacheco of San Antonio has a degree from A&M San Antonio. There is one Aggie on the Senate's Higher Education Committee, Paul Betton Court of Houston. With the help of surveillance video from a parking garage, College Station police make an arrest after one man was robbed and one was stabbed near an ATM machine on Northgate this weekend. 19-year-old Kevin Ramos of Navasota is out of jail after posting $20,000 in bonds. For more news, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
If you missed the Louis Belina Show, powered by Team of Navasota, you missed.
We kind of missed the boat at Athlon Sports with our predictions a couple years ago with Clemson. You know, we after their first year where they lost to Alabama in the national championship game, we kind of picked it. We picked Florida State the next year. We just kind of said, you know, Clemson, they lost so many good players. They can't reload at this pace. But you know what? They did, and they keep doing it. But they're at the point now where they're recruiting at such a high level, and they seem to have more hits than recruiting. They're not missing them five stars like the programs are.
So they're a next-up program now. You're officially putting them into the Alabama-Georgia category. They're just a next-up program.
Yes, and their player development's great. So, yeah, long answer, their defensive line won't be quite as good, but it will still be very good.
The Louis Belina Show, powered by Team of Navasota, weekdays 11 to 2 on The Zone.
Time is drawing near. My train is going. I see it in your eyes. The love, the need, your tears.
Welcome back to the Blue Chi Hour Lunch. January 24th, beautiful Thursday afternoon in Bryan College Station. Luis, as we look forward to closing the book on the 2019 recruiting class here in a couple of weeks, A&M will host many of the top players in 2020 and 2021 in the state and across the region next week at Junior Day. And the segue from last segment was we were talking about quarterback depth and what's on campus. And when we start looking at 2020, is there a chance that you think A&M could take two quarterbacks in that class? Or is it like – you were talking about, is that kind of a futile deal because you know, one of them is not, I mean, neither one of them, one of the two is going to be gone before their 4 years is up.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year, when you look at it, I could see them, thanks. You're not going to have a lot of years where you take two. Mm-hmm. I could see this year being one of them, though. When you look at the way that things lay out, you're recruiting a 2020 without factoring, you know, as a guy that's going to be a junior this year, Kellen Mond does not factor into the mix as he'll be a senior when these guys are true freshmen. So he doesn't affect what you're trying to do recruiting-wise. So now you're looking and you go, there's Blumrick, there's Foster, and there's Calzada. Blumrick will be going into his sophomore season. Foster – going into his second redshirt freshman season. So you go freshman, sophomore at the positions. It's hard to sit there and look at that and go, all three of those guys are going to be there. So let's just say even one of them were to ultimately leave, which is, again, this is how you have to recruit now. Then you go, we're going to have two on campus at most in 2020. We probably need to take two. We would have four, and then, you know, eventually one of those other two guys, whoever doesn't win a job after Kellen will leave. So you just have to stay ahead of it.
Does it make it easier if you take a kid like Malik Hornsby, who is a phenomenal athlete that plays quarterback, that, you know, maybe if it doesn't work out at quarterback, he could go do something else and really find himself on the field at a multitude of spots?
That always helps versatility at any position, but they're not recruiting Malik Hornsby to play another spot. So I don't think you – look at it that way, but I mean,
he seems like the best bet in state to grab one of those quarterback spots.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he didn't. And then I think then it becomes a question of, do you go out of state and try to go get another really highly regarded guy, or do you look in state at some of these guys?
And I don't get really
a little under the radar, but I know you and Howell have found some guys that you think pretty highly of.
Well, I mean, you know, Jimbo's MO is to go big game hunting at quarterback, and he's done it by going out to California this week, or he sent Daryl Dickey out there and offered DJ Uiagalelei, and sounds like they're going to get him in at some point. And dual sport kid that's going to be a Major League Baseball draft potential.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to recruit that guy. Like, if he's interested in your program, and he is a consensus five-star, best player in the country type of kid, you got to recruit him.
Jimbo's going to go and recruit nationally at that position more so than any every year. And if there's good players in state, they're going to recruit them as well. But they're going to look all over the country. You look at his two quarterback signees since he's been here from Alabama and Georgia.
Yep.
I would almost be surprised if we didn't see that trend continue moving forward, because, you know, unless there's an elite guy in state, and in his two classes of recruiting, that has not been the case in Texas. And You know, everybody was talking. Remember all the time people wasted worrying about Grant Gunnell? How many of you are worried about the fact that he didn't sign with A&M today? Just a little side note of this quarterback recruiting, right? How many people thought it was the end of the world when Grant Gunnell decommitted and opened things up, and you thought he was going to end up at Ohio State or LSU or wherever?
Arkansas.
And then it was Arkansas. Oh, my God, we'll have to play against him, and he's the next Dan Marino. And now he's at Arizona and saw his stock really plummet this year as a senior. That doesn't mean he's not going to be any good, but that's just the reality of what happened to him as a prospect. And it's the same, you know, group where we were all up in arms. Not we, but a lot of people were up in arms when A&M offered Tua, this Hawaiian kid. Why would you ever do that when you've got Tate Martell committed? By God, how stupid can they be? You're going to upset Tathan. We can't win without Tate Martell, damn it. There's no way. And we got to get that receiver teammate of his from Bishop Gorman, or the whole class is going to fall apart.
Yeah, where is he at?
And there's that D lineman from there, too. It's the end of the world.
Bishop Gorman.
So, anyway, I just, you know.
Your volume went up there.
We got to start looking at this stuff a little more. Just like with these rankings right now. Everybody's up in arms because, oh, my God,
yeah,
Texas,
down.
If they get Brew McCoy to flip from USC, which, by the way, I see no way that he'll be able to do that without – he's signed an LOI and he's enrolled in school. I don't see how he does that without losing, you know, having to sit out a year. Maybe they're fine. I mean, I'm sure they'd be fine with that. Is the kid fine with that?
How are you going to tell me that's just something that sprung up organically, or is that
been
fostered?
I think Tom Herman and those guys tamper. I mean, you saw them do it last year.
I know they've done it.
During a coaching change at A&M with guys that were already signed with Jimbo Fisher. So – I think, look, here's the deal with these rankings, and Howell and I talked about that, because Tyler Owens, the Plano East safety, looked great at an all-star, postseason all-star game, and they moved this guy up based on his track times and his size and speed combo to a five-star, number two safety in the country, ahead of Brian Williams and Damani Richardson, not to mention Lewis Cine and some other really Jalen Callen, some other really good Texas safeties. Move him up to number one safety in Texas, number two safety in the country, number 25 player in the country, and essentially a top five player in the state on a guy that no one had even heard of. Keep in mind, he's playing at Plano East,
yeah,
which is where Anthony Hines was coming out of 2 years ago as a five-star. And
if he's hanging out here in Snook or Iola, then nobody sees him. I get it. But there's not a kid that's a five-star talent at a Plano East or a Katy or an Allen that people miss on. It just doesn't happen.
And by people, you mean when Texas offers a kid in September or October, every other school that goes through DFW sending someone by there to eyeball and take a look at him and watch tape. And guess what? The offers still didn't come pouring in.
I showed Logan this
morning.
Nothing
against the guy.
No, it's not the kid's
fault. He could be a good player. He's a terrific athlete. But when you're calling a guy a five-star and the number two-rated player at his position in the country, it stinks. And when you take this hook fin kid out of Dulles, who A&M's recruiting, Anaya Smith, hard all year for a year plus now, and they never really give him too hard a look because he weighs probably under 250 pounds as an offensive lineman. And again, it's Dulles High School in Sugar Land with a guy, Missouri City there, with a guy that a lot of other schools are recruiting. The offers are not pouring in there, and Texas is in a dogfight with Baylor. Yet now they've dropped Javon Shepherd enough to where I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Hook Finn is rated higher, maybe by 247, and Javon's on the verge of dropping to a three-star. And let me tell you his last 2 weeks of recruiting. You've got the guy that flipped from Baylor to Texas who had Auburn and then his next best offer was worse than Baylor. And you've got Javon Shepherd who with 2 weeks to sign day, it's Texas, it's A&M, it's Georgia, and it's Alabama in a dogfight for him. Now you tell me what's wrong with this system. And then the biggest crime.
Well, look at me. Let me read this real quick. This again, this is not a shot at Tyler Owens. It is not. It's a shot at the ranking system. We're not going to take a shot at a kid, especially when we don't know. His offer list is Baylor.
And by the way, let me clarify something, Bronny. Critiquing with all these kids that get all this love and social media and respect my decision, and they get these rankings and they're invited to all these All-Star games, it is not taking shots or attacking to say that you think a guy doesn't deserve a fifth star or a guy is ranked too high. Okay, let's stop being so damn sensitive.
Let me just Baylor, Boston College, U of H, Illinois, Kansas State, Louisiana Lafayette, Missouri, Nebraska, Purdue. That's the offer list of five-star now, Tyler Owens. Here is the offer list for three-star, Jalen Weidermeyer.
Yeah, I'm glad you said him. I was going to
Alabama,
him
Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Nebraska, Ohio State, Oregon. Three-star.
And that's not – I mean, that list goes a hell of a lot longer. That list goes a hell of a lot longer. And here's my thing. With Weidermeyer, what does he do wrong physically? What does he lack athletically or physically as a tight end to not be there?
Or how's Kenyon Green not a five-star?
And then dropping Kenyon Green off the five-star line. They dropped Brian Williams off the five-star line because he wasn't fast twitch enough at these events during the summer with no pad or, you know, these bullcrap events. All he does is go out and produce like 30 turnovers as a defensive back in his high school career. And again, have offers from everyone in the country. But to drop Kenyon Green, it defeats the entire purpose. When you drop, here's the fallacy in this crap. When you drop Kenyon Green to a four-star, by every account, all he did was dominate. He was the best player at any event he was at, whether it was
postseason. They never gave him a five-star. But when they reissued these new ones, they didn't give Kenyon one.
Yeah.
And all he's done is completely dominate every event, game, not game, summer, winter, whatever it was. He was the best guy there against the best defensive lineman. But there are other guys that deserve it.
And they gave Jordan Whittington one.
I do think Jordan Whittington deserved the five-star.
Yeah, I do too. And they gave Baylor Cup one. I think he deserved it. If you want to say he's the best tight end prospect in the country, there you go. But to not give Kenyon Green one is criminal. They finally fixed what was going on with Isaiah Spiller, which was absurd. He was in the 500s. But they moved this Myron Warren out of Louisiana up. They sneak these things in. And I talked to Howell, and Howell, in fairness, he said, when I was at Rivals, I sat in those meetings. I didn't ever really hear people like lobbying for Texas and lobbying. My point is, I don't think it happens on the surface in a Rivals meeting. I think people like the shush man, who all he does is tweet nonsense and talk and run his mouth.
Shush, but I'm going to talk as much as I can.
But yeah, he's always got his finger in front of his mouth. I think this guy and his minions there, Texas cares so much about the winning the hearts and minds battle, the PR thing, which is ironic considering the PR disasters by that head coach. But they're so consumed with that I think they put – and there's no way to prove this, and they deny it because that's what liars do. But they put so much time and effort and energy into, if this is a national guy for one of the networks, changing his opinion. Hey, you got to look. This Tyler Owens, I'm telling you, he's the best I've seen. He's every bit as good as Caden Stearns. And some of these guys are going to listen to that. They're not NFL scouts. Half of them are complete spares that wouldn't know a good player if he walked up and slapped him in the face, which some of them probably deserve. So these guys are influenced. They start to change things. And then on the flip side of that, you have Scooby Carter. So you bump Owens up because, man, he had this allegedly great senior year, but I didn't see it because I've watched the tapes and I've seen God knows how many – every college in the country goes through Dallas, and they didn't see enough for all the offers from around the country to come pouring in. And then they said, well, he's great at the Army Bowl. Well, on the flip side of that, Scooby Carter, who, full disclosure, I think A&M desperately wanted him. We know they did. He had him penciled in as a day-one player, a big-time talent, And, you know, you would have loved to see A&M sign him still today. If there was a chance that he could just change to A&M like this Brew McCoy apparently thinks he can do, then I would say, hell yeah. But they bump him up to a five-star. He's injured with a shoulder and doesn't finish his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
So how does he get the bump? But then that's your whole logic for bumping the other guys because of the seat. Well, if we're basing it on the senior year, and then why doesn't
Damani Richardson should be a three-star?
Yeah,
he didn't play.
He got hurt. So why? You know what? It's just so inconsistent.
It's arbitrary. Yeah.
And I do think there's a lot of confirmation bias involved in this. Whether it's coaches getting worked, coaches working some of these analysts behind the scenes through friendships and whatnot. Everybody wants to say Tex Aggs is biased. Oh, my God, you guys are, you know, you're a mouthpiece for the program. Go look at these morons covering Texas in burnt orange. That's they're just as – and the reason I call them morons is this, because they can sit there and allow everyone to say, and they even think Tex Aggs is biased. Texas. It's no different than a site that covers Texas. It's no different than a site that covers Oklahoma. A site that covers Alabama, a site that covers Clemson, Ohio State, the list goes on and on. It's the same damn thing. But what really gets me.
We got to hurry, Luke. Got to go to break.
I don't care. State media is the same thing. They do it with the Astros, the Texans, the Rockets. When these teams go on their runs, they get all excited and breathless and they love following them. And it's fun. The recruiting analysts do the same thing.
Yep.
They've got the coaches they're friends with, they've got the ones that will put the most amount of time into lobbying and manipulating their thoughts and their evaluations. And that's what you see go on a lot. It goes on a lot in this industry. My point to wrap it all up is don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about it. Would you rather have Javon Shepherd or Hook Finn? You're a fan. Would you rather have right now today Kellen Mond or Tate Martell? I know what we all would have said 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So just – you got a guy, if you got a recruiter that you trust and you look at his track record in terms of evaluation, ability to land players, and ability to develop players, they're going to get who they want. My advice would be stop paying attention now after early signing day to the rankings because they're clearly very manipulated after that.
Good stuff, Luch. On the other side of the
guys
break,
got nothing to do.
We'll close the show, Blue Chair Lunch, live on the Zone.
Folks are always looking for a place to meet friends, grab some food, relax, and unwind with a cold beer, mixed drink, or glass of Boots Sweet Tea. The Tap on Harvey Road has been the place to do just that for nearly 30 years. A casual atmosphere and tasty food keeps people coming back for more. Our burgers, salads, chicken tenders, nachos, and more are sure to satisfy whatever craving you have. And being in SEC country, the Tap is a great place to meet before, during, or after the game. See you at the Tap on Harvey Road in College Station.
Celebrate the 28th awesome year of Chili Fest with special guest, Cody Jinks. Joining Cody Jinks on the Chili Fest stage will be Randy Rogers Band, Whiskey Myers, Flatland Cavalry, Kyle Park, and many more. And it's brought to you by Miller Lite, Maverick 100.9, Willie 97.7, Candy 95, and The Zone. I've been drinking too. For more information, visit ChiliFest.org. It's the 28th annual Chili Fest with Cody Jinks.
Beep's coming. You know what to do.
Hey, I'm going to just rip this Band-Aid off. We need to break up. You're not good for me. I'm always sweaty and uncomfortable around you. And I'm not getting any benefits from this relationship. You're just a basic memory foam mattress. I deserve better. And before you ask, yes, there is someone else. I've been seeing the Purple mattress online for a while now. Don't blame yourself. How can you compete with a bed that totally supports me, hugs my pressure points, and sleeps so effortlessly cool? Not to mention the 100-night trial and free shipping. Now that's a bed with benefits. It'll make me feel better than you ever could.
Break up with your old mattress and get with the Purple today. Get a $100 store credit with the purchase of a mattress. Just text PILLOW to 474747 to get your $100 store credit. The only way to get this exclusive offer is to text PILLOW to 474747. That's PILLOW to 474747.
Message and data rates may apply up to 5 messages a month. TNC and privacy policy found at purple.com. Reply help for help or stop to cancel.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean
water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Nate Bender, host of Checkpoint XP, gaming radio for gamers by gamers. Join me and my friends every Saturday night at 10 here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM as we talk about the latest news and events from around the world of video games and esports scene. Every Saturday night from 10 till midnight, you can hear Checkpoint XP here on The Zone, or you can catch us on demand at the Pod Center at zone1150.com.
Closing the show here, Ryan Brominger, Billy Lucci, Bellucci Hour Lunch. Got about 30 seconds. Lucci, real quick to close the show, Dalen Max week. Could he be a top two or three rounder now?
I mean, it sounds like a stretch for someone to move up that much. I could see him getting into third.
Yeah.
He's been dominant. And, you know, I don't know how much it was out there. Eric McCoy had a really good day yesterday, too. And Kingsley Keke was rock solid, as we know Kingsley Keke is. None of this is surprising. And I think at the end of this week, all three of those guys are really going to see their stock rise pretty significantly. I know A&M's got a little contingent out there that went out there today to check those guys out. So hopefully I'll get some good intel on what the NFL types are saying about them.
Good stuff. We will see you guys on Monday. Bellucci Hour Lunch live from the tap.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Louis Bellino on the other side of the break.
Everyone makes mistakes. Mistakes can land you on the wrong side of the law. If so, you need someone on your side. Steve Gastitis, attorney at law, has over 20 years' experience fighting felony and misdemeanor charges. Steve Gastitis will fight for you. Call now to set up your free consultation, 823-9111. Qualified people are ready to take your call. Call 823-9111 or visit GastitisLaw.com to see how Steve Gastitis can put the law on your side.
Your home for the NFL playoffs, from the wild card round
to the Super Bowl.
It's Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
This
is KZNE, KNDE HD3 and K274C
College Station.
College Station Bryan.
Now return you to the following program in progress.
Ackerman, this report is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The Dodgers are making a change in the outfield. Gone are Matt Kemp and Yasiel Puig, and today they have reportedly come to terms with free agent A.J. Pollock on a five-year deal worth nearly $60 million. Victor Oladipo is done for the year. Test today revealed a ruptured quad tendon in his right knee. The gruesome injury suffered early last night in the Pacers able to win without him, but face a long road without their leading scorer. The Warriors continue their five-game road trip tonight, making their third stop in Washington. They currently lead the Western Conference by a game and a half over idle Denver and are looking for their ninth straight win. They've gotten healthy and have also received a boost from the addition of free agent DeMarcus Cousins, who is seeing his first action of the season. Sean Livingston, a guest of the Jim Rome Show earlier this week, said everything falling into place right now.
I think past couple weeks, really just finding our energy, our chemistry together. Obviously, guys are playing unbelievably well. Steph, Clay's been playing a lot better in January. Guys are stepping up their game.
The Lakers, after falling to the Warriors Monday, will host the Timberwolves. LeBron James remains out with a groin injury, but Rajon Rondo returns after